Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
What did Twittergate knock out of the news cycle?
Woo!
Man, have you thought about this? Twittergate is huge. It blew up last Friday. Now, it's... And it's going to have legs, long-lasting legs, folks. I cannot wait for Elon Musk to essentially make the media non-existent. He's going to make social media a whole new platform. I want you to understand what's happening here. Facebook may actually have to try to compete to get their eyeballs off of Twitter and get people back to Facebook, because people are not going to be using Facebook for their media source when all this new information is breaking on the best, biggest media thing going since invention of media. Twitter. Welcome, folks. I love this. So, normally, a media site is not the news. I mean, we know, okay, Zucker was with his girlfriend at CNN. He got fired. Prior to that, CNN was, you know, suppressing Trump, oppressing him, doing all kinds of crazy stories. So Zucker had to fire some people before he lost his job. And, of course, we had Cuomo was helping the Love Gov, his brother. I mean, technically, media had become like a Peyton place. It become like a reality TV show for all the leftist nonsense out there. But it's not supposed to be that. They're supposed to be the invisible observer reporting and giving you the truth, but they're not that. And so now Twitter's going, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go back to real journalism. I'm going to get a real journalist to start releasing stuff on people, and I'm going to let you know what's going on out there. And does this guy have a whole host of stuff? How long has Twitter been around? For 10 years? This guy's got some 10, 12, 13, 15 years of data that he can go back and go, here's how it all started. Talk about the Johnny Carson of media. Elon Musk has already made one superstar, this Taibbi guy. Who else is he going to say, okay, I've got one for you. I've got another for you. I've got one for you. And you know what we're figuring out as conservatives? They did target us. They did suppress stories that were unflattering to the left. And that's why Hillary Clinton decided she wasn't going to respond back to let anybody respond to anything that was on her page. She said, y'all are not going to get me. But there are a lot of happy campers out there, folks. But as we contemplate this, I want you to go back to the Eric Holders of the world, the Barack Obamas, the Obama administration, the Department of Justice people that were involved, D.O. Clapper, John Brennan, many others. What correspondence did they have with various people? What was the cover-up? And by the way, what was the internal cover-up within Twitter, and who were those people working with? And let's build our little mafioso thing to let us know who's kin to who, married to who, hanging out with whom. With all these leftists who were in a cabal against Donald Trump and against America, these seditionists. It's going to be fun. But let me give you a few people who are happy right now. SBF. You know, the FTX CEO from MIT, Mr. Woohoo, he's so smart, right? The fake billionaire bad boy who should be in prison, who's currently making the rounds as a star. They're treating this guy like a star. They're clapping for this guy. Oh my gosh, he's amazing. He's so amazing. He's an amazing scam artist. That story's been moved to the bottom of the pile. I'll talk more about him another day. And what about Kinky Boots? The Biden nuclear energy disposal freak who got caught lifting a Vera Bradley bag at the Minneapolis airport. It's not like he couldn't afford a bag on they own. Notice I used his pronouns. Well, they is on leave, and you can bet the Biden administration is happy this little freak show has ended for the time being. And I just say for the time being. But here's my curiosity. What's the LGBTQ going to do now that this freak may very well lose his job? He could serve 5 years in prison for lifting that bag. Oh, he won't, because they is a Democrat. Oh, the irony, though, folks. However, it wasn't this guy, the fact that this guy's a total freak, a member of CLAW, who likes to spank people and who's into bondage and is a sadist. No, it wasn't any of that that got this guy a job, you know, his job in jeopardy at the Biden administration. No, it was taking a bag from the airport. Something normal. I just think that's interesting, huh? And here's the question that I would ask. What else has they done? What else is going on that's been out of the news cycle? Warnock polling ahead of Herschel Walker. This, despite Warnock being a certifiable crook who took funds, diverted funds, I think they say up to $16 million from one place to the other, but he's probably going to be the senator from Georgia. You know, one of those southern racist states that's supposed to be super red. But no, Stacey Abrams, who can't win in any race that she runs, but they can win every other race, right? Because they do it by the book. Of course they do. Come on, Kevin Jackson, stop implying otherwise. You know Democrats are the most steadfast, honorable people in America. Yeah, that's what Twitter showed us, isn't it? What else is out of the news? Well, monkeypox. Monkeypox was back in the news, and then suddenly, boop, 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 it's gone. Power down. No more talk of monkeypox. Supposed to be the next scourge. What's going to kill us? Oh! COVID. Isn't that, aren't we supposed to all be staying vigilant on COVID?
Hey, listen up. Make sure you get your shots. Make sure you get the boosters. And we got the new ones coming out. They're spending billions and billions of dollars and making lots of vaccine. We're going to send it over to the third world countries here soon, but get your shot while you can.
And, oh, what about those government statistics?
73% of the people have been vaccinated.
By the way, unvaccinated was trending on Twitter over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that. Unvaccinated. I didn't get to see what it was about, but here's what I will tell you. I'm glad I'm unvaccinated. I'm glad for that. People were saying, I saw something that said when these people are doing autopsies on the vaccinated, their blood is like already got formaldehyde in it. It's weird stuff. So here's the point. Twittergate knocked a ton of stuff out of the news. I haven't even, there's a bunch of other things that you aren't aware of. But see, this one's not one of those news cycles that the left can go, oh, Twittergate knocked this out of the news. No, this is not a good one. Twittergate knocked all that stuff out of the news because it's going to bring up a whole new can of new old stuff. Glad you're with me, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
Joe Biden got good news and he got some bad news. The good news is Biden's record as coup president is no longer in the spotlight. In other words, people aren't looking at the economy. They're not looking at foreign policy. They're not looking at China. They're not looking at Russians potentially going to nuclear war with us. They're not looking at Iran building nuclear weapons. None of it. They're just out there ignoring everything. That's the good news for Biden. The bad news for Biden is people are reflecting on him as vice president under baby black Jesus. And more specifically, what happened when he allowed his crackhead son to run the family's criminal enterprise. Welcome, folks. Kevin Jackson's who you're listening to. Now, there are a lot of people who listen to my show and they say, Kevin, they want to give me direction. Don't be a Trump pro guy, Trump pro or pro Trump, whatever. It works either way. And I'm not that. I argue this all the time. I look at results. I don't care how hit. If you tell me World War II was fought and it was a bunch of sissies in tutus and we defeated those Nazis, I'd say, let me thank them sissies in tutus. Somebody get them boys up in them girls or whatever they call themselves. Let get the non-binary people who won that war over here so I can thank them. And I don't think you're much different, conservatives. But when you want to make me not like somebody because of their personality, but their results are good, it would be like you have a financial planner and he's a jerk, but he makes you money. But you got a good buddy who can't make a dime. You know, he's, hey, man, I got a great stock tip for you. And you lose your shirt. Give me that jerk that makes me money. You're not going to get me to get rid of him. Anyway, I saw this. Biden, they say, is cautiously optimistic about the economy. Why? Because that's all Biden can be. Once you've destroyed an economy, Biden should say, I'm totally optimistic things will come back. I have completely destroyed this economy in my second year, post-Trump wind in my sails year one. So where else can we go? We have nowhere else to go. I feel like Richard Gere in an Officer of the General. I got nowhere else to go. When old Lou Goss is going to kick him out. Sergeant Foley. Anyway, yeah, he's cautious. You know why he's cautious? He's going, you know, listen, I don't know that I can do better, but I know I can do worse. So let's not define what this really is because it could backfire. See, the man has no plan. So he has to announce caution. If it were Donald Trump, he'd say, yeah, the economy is going to be great. We're doing great. Things are great. You know, it's going to be the best economy ever. Our GDP is good. It's looking good. We brought manufacturing back. He'd be muddling it out and you'd be like, oh, man, he's so inarticulate. I can't stand him. But you know what you would like to stand? When the GDP grows, when your portfolio, your 401k grows, those things, for all the naysayers out there, I'm going to make you a bet. I bet you were really happy with the results of your 401k. There you go. Anyway, as I said, good news and bad news for Biden. The good news is nobody's focusing on him as president in the coup. The bad news is they're focusing on him from when he was vice president, when his son ran their criminal enterprise. And Elon Musk, who made this comment, he says, look, I'm not doing the day-to-day. I'm not poring over these Twitter files personally. But I'm leaving that to journalists. And here's what I love about what he did. Elon Musk said, I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it for the rest of this hour. Elon Musk is doing what other people are not. See, the Sean Hannitys of the world, the Tucker Carlsons, and no offense against them, but they don't want to build new journalists. I'll even hand it to O'Reilly. O'Reilly discovered Jesse, what's his face, that's on Fox. Now, I'm not a big fan of the guy, but I will give him this. O'Reilly saw something in him that said, let's go ahead and make this guy. You know, he discovered him. Let me put it that way, right? Jesse Waters. Thank you, my producers. So at least he discovered him. How many people can you say that all these other people have discovered? Just tell me who they are. Tell me, I know Sean Hannity supposedly discovered Mark Levin. Who else? He did Dan Bongino. Well, okay, I'll give him credit. He had Dan on the radio. But after decades in this business, and by the way, I have no love for Limbaugh on this. Limbaugh got us Mark Stein, Walter Williams, which, by the way, accomplished guys in their own rights. But he got a few people. How many people could he have made into megastars before his death? That's not a slam on him. It's just a fact. So now we have Sean Hannity. You name a couple. You can't name more than four or five. Okay, and that's not a slam on Sean. He's a nice guy. And I know he's done little things for people. I'm talking about big things. How many? How many people has Laura Ingraham paid forward? How many people have Tucker Carlson paid forward to discover? How many has Candace Owens said, you know what? I'm going to build this particular person. There's Joe Posobiec, there's Ruben, there are many of them out there. And you know what they do? They rely on their own talents and they rely on their own social media marketing and so on and so forth. That's what they rely on. They get no help from the Sean Hannity. Very little. I'm not going to say no, but very little. And here comes Elon Musk. And let me give you two names. Taibbi, I don't know his first name. That may be his first name. And Barry Weiss. He says he's going to leave the journalism to those guys. Now, I knew Barry Weiss. I mean, I know Barry Weiss. I don't know Taibbi. He's on Substack. But however he got to Elon Musk, whatever, I don't know what Elon Musk's credentials are, or his, you know, what he wants these people to be in terms of why am I going to give them these stories. But he just made two superstars. How many more will he make? How many other stories are out there? Here's what they go on to say. Despite not reviewing the documents themselves, Musk says it appears there were a, quote, very different standard applied to Republican candidates in the U.S. versus a Democrat candidates, or versus Democrat candidates. He made the mistake, not me. That's what they had on Twitter. He says, I'm not saying this is definitely the case. He says there appears to have been a double standard where Democrats were not censored and Republicans were. And it was, I think, that it is fairly obvious to anyone who uses Twitter. And I've asked this question, and I know you have as well. Who are the people coming back onto Twitter? Give me the list. Well, let me tell you who they are. Conservatives. I'm still not back on. Trump got back on. These conservatives, maybe bigger names than mine, got back on. Well, who's not having to get back on? Leftists. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
It has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Democrats are trying to get the world's richest man. When I say get, I mean destroy the world's richest man. I can't even tell you how God had to prep Elon Musk for this time and this place, because he's not considered dogmatically conservative by any stretch of the imagination. And you know what the left did? They poked and prodded a dude who only wanted things to go back to normal, regular stuff. They poked and prodded this man. And finally, he said, enough is enough. And what did he do? He tendered an offer to get 11% of the company. You know what that meant? That meant he could request all kinds of stuff. And that sent a shot over the bow. But then Elon Musk decided to do the unthinkable, and he purchased the Twitter. He bought his way into the elite status. See, it used to be go buy yourself a football or baseball or basketball team. When you got billions like my boy, like Elon, you jump way over into the stratosphere and say, why do I need to waste my time with a sports franchise and I can get into the big game, baby? And that's what he did. That's what this is, the big game, only for the most elitist of the elite and reserved for leftists. Yeah. Let me tell you what Twitter is. Well, before I do that, let me say this. You better know that the NSA, the FBI, all these people, they are hacking Twitter to a level unseen by the platform and probably unseen by any group in history. If you think Stuxnet, or whatever it was called, where the Israelis hacked the Iranian nuke program with the help of the U.S. is a big deal, wait until you see what these people are trying to do to Elon Musk, the world's richest man. And here's what I hope. I hope that Musk sees it and goes even further, exposes him, just like he's doing right now. I hope he does it. I hope he has the best team of IT guys on the planet watching the Biden administration try to destroy him. And then he goes, let me show you what else they did, and let me show you how they're doing it. And he has hackers showing us how how the sausage gets made. This is so exciting, folks. See, Twitter is Project Veritas on steroids. I told people this story. When James O'Keefe first started breaking stories, He took it to Andrew Breitbart. First, he did it. He busted Acorn. And he took the story to Andrew Breitbart. Breitbart called me, and then, but he also, because he says, Kevin, you're going to be my Beck guy. Well, he had already called Fox, and he said to Glenn Beck, I'm going to let you break a story. Now, Glenn gets popular over the story. Oh, he broke Acorn. I got popular over the story. I broke Acorn. Breitbart got notoriety and more popularity over the story because he broke Acorn. But who broke Acorn? James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles. That's who broke Acorn. So Hannah goes off, gets married, you know, beautiful girl, marries a great guy. And then James decides to build Project Veritas. And the rest is history. It was their work. So now let's look at what Twitter can do. See, James has to get in and find an infiltrator or whatever. You know what Elon Musk does? Elon Musk says, no, I'm just going to buy the, I'm going to buy them and I'm going to tell you what they're doing. What if he decides to buy the Washington Post next? What if he decides to tenure an offer for Facebook for a certain amount of their, you know, to understand what they're doing? What if he can get 10% of Facebook and do the same thing? Here's what he said in a tweet. It's frankly the behavior that is to be expected from an organization that is based in San Francisco, which is far left. He noted that the political contributions from Twitter were over 99% Democrat. Well, with that kind of viewpoint, what kind of viewpoint would you expect people to have then? It's the behavior you would expect from a country that is essentially a distillation of San Francisco politics. See, the worst thing that could happen for these companies is they're developed in Silicon Valley, where these people, they are so detached from the world. They're almost as detached from the world as the Holly weirdos. These are people making so much money for doing what would be considered regular work that they don't know how to behave. These are the people that get paid by the CEOs of FTX and Twitter and Facebook because the money is fake. If you think Facebook is worth $1 trillion or whatever it was before, you're sadly mistaken. Now it's down to what? Under 200 billion? Let me give you a little secret. Pay attention. Facebook's not worth that. Not the way Zuckerberg runs it. So you have that as an issue. Twitter's not worth $44 billion. It is what it is, though. So when you're making that kind of money and everybody goes, look at him, Zuckerberg's making all this money. So he pays out crazy amounts of money. These people are making 3, 4, 5x what they should be making in the real world. That's what they're doing. And so they're as distorted as Holly weirdos. These are people getting paid a fortune to do jobs that they love. Oscar's so white. So Elon Musk is all over. He's going, I'm going to expose it. So what does he do? He gives it to journalists. As I said, he's going to make superstar journalists. The kind of things, you remember, who was it? Woodward and Bernstein, when they broke Watergate, which by the way, wasn't a huge story, but big for its day. But in comparison to the stuff that's breaking today, nothing. Watergate's nothing. But is there a journalist breaking the story on Hunter Biden outside of the Washington Post? Is there a journalist breaking a story on the big guy? Is there a journalist following the money in Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and all this stuff? No, they don't want to follow that. This is where we are. And so you get... Elon Musk says, I'm going to bring journalism back. I'm going to give these guys stories that you will be riveted by. So he broke Twittergate. And here's what they wrote in the first series of tweets. You're going to read the first installment based on thousands of internal documents at Twitter. The Twitter Files is an incredible story inside the world, one of the world's largest and most influential social media platforms. It's a Frankenstein tale of a human-built mechanism grown out of control of its designer. Twitter is in its conception a brilliant tool for enabling instant mass communication, making a real-time global conversation possible for the first time. In an early conception, Twitter more than lived up to its mission statement, giving people the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. This is beautiful prose, by the way. As time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add to those barriers. Some of the first tools for controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. We all agree that's a good thing, right? That's what you don't want, people ripping off old folks and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's what Twitter was about. But it went on. He goes on. Slowly over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more useful uses for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well. First a little, then more often, then constantly. By 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, "More to review from the Biden team." The reply would come back, "Handled." I'm not teaching you anything you don't know about yourself here, folks, about this situation, I should say. They go on. Celebrities and unknowns alike could be removed or reviewed at the behest of a political party. That's what the Democrats are doing, mostly the Democrats. And they have the stats. They go on. Both parties had access to these tools. When 2020 requests came from both Trump and Biden, they were received and honored. But let me explain what was happening to the ones that Trump was asking for. He was saying, honor this nonsense of them that they're spreading against me. What Biden and those guys were doing was spreading disinformation. He goes on to say the system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts. Because Twitter was and is overwhelmingly staffed by people of one political orientation, there were more channels, more ways to complain open to the left, Democrats, than the right. And he goes on to talk about the contributions made by Twitter by party. And the contribution to Democrats is unbelievable. As I said, 99%. He says the resulting slant in content moderation decisions is visible in the documents you're going to read. However, it is the assessment of multiple current and former high executives. Okay, there was more throat clearing about the process, but screw it. Let's jump forward. And he goes in to talk about how these people were manipulating, how they were, you know, having these decisions on, well, how do we frame it in such a way that doesn't make us look like we're doing what we're actually doing? Because you know what Twitter's about? It's about stopping you, the people. Oh, they can hide it under, it's Donald Trump. You're not fooling me. It has nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with stopping another movement. The MAGA movement, aka the Tea Party movement, version 2.0.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. Is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
Twitter, they say, took extraordinary steps to suppress the Hunter Biden story. They removed links. They posted warnings saying that it might be unsafe. They blocked its transmission during direct message, a tool hitherto reserved for extreme cases like child pornography or, some sort of a like in one case, I remember an actual rape that was caught on camera, that kind of thing. That's what they said we're going to stop these things for. But they used it to stop a story, a legitimate story that we now know was completely legitimate. Kayleigh McEnany got locked out of her account for tweeting about the story. This got people seething. They said, at least pretend to care, Twitter. This was prior to the election. This led to public policy executive Carolyn Strom to send out a polite WTF query. Several employees noted there was tension between the communications and policy teams because they didn't know who was really in charge. So Twitter was in a state of disarray because there are people there that, even though they knew they're leftists, they still kind of wanted to do the right thing. Strom's note returned the answer that the laptop story had been removed for violation of the company's hacked materials policy. How did they know? They didn't know. They say all those sources Several sources recalled hearing about a general warning from federal law enforcement that summer about possible foreign hacks. There was no evidence. And keep in mind, folks, this is after the FBI had had this laptop in its possession since October of 2019. They knew this information was legit. They could have phoned up Twitter and said, hey, look, it is legit. Don't disregard. It is legit. But they didn't do it. They said the decision was made at the highest level of the company without the knowledge of Jack Dorsey. They said with the former head of legal policy and trust, Vijaya Gaji, playing a key role. Now, once Dorsey left, Dorsey said, look, this is not the way we should be doing things. I'll give him credit. And he said it since then. It was a big mistake. But see, it's easy to apologize in retrospect while you call us election deniers and election, you know, like almost like we're, how dare you think that we would do something to change, you know, to put our finger on the scale for this stuff? How dare we think it? You'd be crazy not to think it. He said they just freelanced it, is how one employee characterized the decision. Hacking was the excuse. But within a few hours, people pretty much knew that was just a cover. It was a cover. So what happens next? They said, Matt Taibbi says, you can see the confusion in a lengthy exchange, which ends up including Gaddy and former trust and security chief Yoel Roth, comms official Trenton Kennedy writes, I'm struggling to understand the policy for marking this as unsafe. Now, Trenton Kennedy, I give you credit. If you're a lefty that's been donating to Democrats, I give you credit, man. But here's what I'll ask you. You still going to donate to him? He says, by this point, quote, everyone knew this was effed, said one former employee. But the response was essentially to err on the side of, you ready for this? Continuing to err. Don't let those Republicans get a toehold. Don't let them know what we know. Don't let them know that we're lying and that we're tipping the scales. Then the former VP of comms, Brandon Borman, asked, can we truthfully claim this is part of the policy? To which Deputy General Counsel Jim Baker again seems to advise staying the course because he says caution is warranted. You want to know what they want to do? Stay the course because they didn't want the backlash. This is like the case where they kept a nurse that was killing people and every hospital kept promoting him saying, oh no, he's amazing. Yeah, he's a great employee, you know, leave. And he'd leave and go to the next hospital, but nobody wanted to say he's killing patients. Well, here nobody wants to tell you. Twitter is killing the Republic. They didn't care. What do we have next? Fundamental problem with tech companies and content moderation. Many people in charge of speech know or care little about speech and have to be told the basics by outsiders. To wit, in one humorous exchange on day one, Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna reached out to Gaddy to gently suggest she hop on the phone to talk about the backlash regarding speech. Khanna was the only Democratic official this guy could find who expressed concerns. And you know what I say, conservatives? You need to send Ro Khanna a note and say thank you for at least sounding the bell. Anyway, going on, he said within a day, the head of public policy, Lauren Culberson, receives a ghastly letter from Carl Szabo of the research firm NetChoice, which had already polled 12 members of Congress, 9 Republicans and 3 Democrats from the House Judiciary Committee to Representative Judy Chu's office. And a guy makes this comment on Matt's thread. He says, might be shocking to most, but most on the right who were labeled conspiracy theorists watched this in real time and tried to warn people. Democrats didn't care. Folks, this is what we were up against the entire time. These people don't care about this republic. They don't care. They hate you. They hate us as conservatives. And you know why? Because we're legit. We're legit. We are the people who want to do it right. I will tell you right now, If I knew somebody cheated against Barack Obama, I'd whistleblow. I'd say, you absolutely need to make sure this man gets every vote of his that needs to be counted. I'd want a fair election. If that man can beat us fair and square, good for him. How are you going to get better if you're just letting people do whatever they want to do? If you don't really know what's going on,
there's no red wave.
Somebody needs to tell that to Florida. Everywhere a red wave didn't occur, this is what we're at. This is where we are. And for those people that go, Kevin, we should drop this stuff. Hey, you may be right. Maybe it's time to look forward. But to look forward to what? What are you going to do? Let me ask you. When if something happens in a company, let's say they lose a lot of money. Do they go, you know what? We lost a lot of money. No need to investigate. Let's just move forward. If there's something that happened in your life, traumatic, your child died. Oh, you know what? Let's forget about what happened, how it happened. Let's just move forward. Explain to me what can happen at this level in your life and you say, let's just move forward. Please do. Because I don't know anything as big as this that you go, let's just move forward. Coming off of the work that Donald Trump did, the way that this guy performed, and you're going to tell me that we should just move forward, that a brain dead moron gets elected in a coup and we should just move forward, that his crooked son has America. People are questioning, what is Joe Biden doing? They're questioning his policy with China right now. They're going, why isn't this administration speaking out on China's oppression of its people? I can give you the answer. They're afraid. Let's move into the 10% for the big guy, because people are asking, you know, these questions based on that. What do the Chinese have? There are people that know there are multiple notebooks out there that are Hunter Biden's. Not one. Maybe we know there's two, and now they're saying there's a third. And the third one is in control of the Russians, who are in bed with whom? The Chinese. So why do you think Joe Biden's been mum on what China does? Why is he not mentioning anything about the Uyghurs? This guy is corrupted. They've got him. They've got him by the yang yang. They ask this. The EU slammed Biden from profiting off the Ukraine war. What? How much is Hunter getting for this? What's going on with these oil companies and all the Burisma stuff? Is that the payback? I guarantee you, if Trump were president, if Trump did this, you'd know the answer. Here's one I really like that somebody tweeted this. The government gives Planned Parenthood $500 million annually. Planned Parenthood gives $50 million back in donations. 10% much? So, is Biden's definitely the big guy. And maybe we'll finally get to the bottom of this. Maybe we'll finally get a tweet or something that says this. But here's what I will tell you. Elon Musk has a lot more stories that'll break.
Putting an end to identity politics.
And now for something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.